Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have your seat. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lovely evening. Lovely afternoon stroke evening. Let's go. I want to start something today that I hope I'll be able to kind of get through. It's going to be a fascinating study. And I hope it really, it's quite practical. I hope it will be able to help each one of us to live life better. Because a lot of time, we get shortchanged in life, not just because we are not good, but because we are not doing all that we need to do. So let's go down to Psalm 92. That psalm was called a psalm of Sabbath day. It's the day that you are at rest before we go to church, or that time before you go to synagogue. Psalm 92. Hallelujah. The very first verse is, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. But where I'm really going is verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. I want you to look at that phrase. Those who are planted where? In the house of the Lord. Those who are established in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Notice that verse 12 use the word flourish. 13 use the word of flourish. 14 use the word flourish. Can you see that, everybody? Okay. Now verse, it shall be fresh and flourishing. The next verse is, and all this will happen to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no what? Unrighteousness in him. The word rock there means table, that is not changed. It's the same thing. It just stays that way. Like Oluma Rock now, it's always like that. You will not go there tomorrow and find it square when it's already rounded. Okay. So we are going to look at that word, verse 13 again. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. See that word, house of the Lord. Praise God. Are you here with me? I said, are you here with me? Okay. We're going to do something that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. That word house, say word for temple. Praise the Lord. Let's go down there. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Do you not know that you are what? Please, everybody look up there. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So, what did they say we are? We are the temple of God. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. I'd like you to just follow me. Okay. Can you look up, everybody? Look at the screen or look at your Bible. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. Where? House of who? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So, are we church? Are we church? Okay. So, church is the house of God. How many of you agree with me on that? Church is the house of God. And we are also the temple of God, right? Now let's go back to first code. Let's go back to Psalm 92, verse 13. Okay. Let's go see it. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. What did Paul call the house of the Lord? Church. Us, right? Okay. And then, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. What I want to do today, I want you to see that the Christian people, that is a trademark about us, that when we say we are Christians, of course, we call the Lord Jesus as our Master and Savior. But how will the world know that we are Christians? What's our trademark? It's here. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There's something about being a Christian that you are not supposed to just be a Christian by name. One of the problems we have today is that people are not Christians. They are church members, or they are attending a church, or they are just in a ministry. Like somebody said, you know, people are more of, they should be called ministrians, not Christians. Are you hearing me? House of Rock Foundation, House of Trem, House of Winners. So look at this verse again. Those who are planted well in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. I want to spend some time this few days, God willing, helping us to see that the house of the Lord is supposed to flourish. And we are that house. Praise God. Give us again 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, what does he do? Dwells in you. So, listen. Can you look up over here? Let's look at two words over there. See that word, temple? That's the capacity. The Spirit of God is the potential. You see, when you buy land or when you buy property, you want to see the capacity of that property, that land. What can it fetch in the market? Or if it's land, how much can it grow the kind of harvest you want? Then you look at the potential of the land. For instance, now, when you buy a house on this road and when you buy a house in that bush, they are not of the same value. The potential of it being much more useful here is more than that one in the bush. There's something about that land where it is. So the Spirit of God dwells in us. So we can't be failures. There's no excuse for low performance if you are Christians. Oh, today we are allowed to do that. Are you hearing me? Please, are we here? Now, I'm not here to blame anybody, but we need to emphasize that the house of God, if you are really established in the house of God, you should flourish in the court of our God. Let's go back there. Psalm 92, verse 13. And I want to show you about the house of God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Shall what? Flourish. Can you give us this verse in Amplified Bible? Before I go further, I want to do something. I want to help you today. I want to help you to live practical Christian like that. Wherever you find yourself, you can live quite well. Amplified said, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the court of our God. That means when they are established as the house of the Lord, give us also chapter 3, Corinthians in Amplified Bible, verse 16, 1 Corinthians. I want us to read. Can you look up, everybody? Don't you know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells how? Permanently. It doesn't go after service and then come back next service. In you, how? Collectively and individually. So when we gather like this, collectively, the Spirit of God is inside of us. And when we live and depart and become individuals, it's still inside of us. Am I making some sense? So I want you to see the house of the Lord. That's where I'm going, the temple, the house of the Lord, the temple. Now, we're going to go to the Bible in the Old Testament. The Bible said the Old Testament is the picture. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Let's look at Hebrews 10 or Hebrews 9, verse 1. Let's look at Hebrews 9 or Hebrews 10. Give us Hebrews 9. Okay. Give us an NKJV to make it easier. All right. Okay. For the law, let's read together, everybody. Let's go. For the law, let's read the first phrase. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Read it with me one more time. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Can you stop? You can take it off. Thank you. All right, take it off. So he said, it's what? Shadow of good things to come. So the Old Testament is a shadow of good things to come. And there are good things here in Jesus' name. And so also image, though not the very image. So if we look at the house of God, the temple of God, can we go to the Old Testament and see what the house of God is like? Can we do that in a few minutes? Are we here? Let's examine the temple of Solomon when it was built. I want to say, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish where? In the court of our God. Are we church? He said, we church are the temple of the living God. And that Spirit of God dwells in us collectively and what? Individually. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's now take a look. Now, with that mentality, let's now go to the Old Testament and check some things up. Are we here? Let's look at when they were building the house as a picture, as a shadow, as an image of who is the house of God now? We are. Temple of God. We are. So when we look at that one that was built by Solomon, we can see a shadow, a picture, image of ourselves. Make some sense? Make some sense? Let's go. 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's look at verse 12. Okay, we just read. We just read. Maybe we should start from verse 11. What does verse 11 say? Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon saying, concerning this temple. Are we here? Please, are you here? Remember, we are the temple of God. So Solomon was asked to build the temple. Follow now. Concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgment, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. Let's keep reading. And I will dwell, please, can you look up everybody over here? Concerning this temple. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. God asked them to build a temple, not the new temple we are talking about now. And this temple was a place where God will stay. And so Solomon embarked on building this temple. It lasted him 7 years to build it. I wish I can show you some of the pictures, but I don't. Balum is not here to give me a picture. We have to have those days about the temple. The temple was such a gorgeous thing. And God said, if you just follow me, I will dwell among you. Now, not with them individually. It's going to be in that temple, that physical thing built somewhere there, right? Are you here, everybody? And he said, I will not forsake them. I'll be there in that. So anytime you go to that temple, you know I'm there. But it's not among them, inside of them individually. But it was in that temple there. Now, let's look at that temple. Let's keep reading. So Solomon built the temple and finished it. Tell your neighbor, you have to be a builder now a little bit. Now, are we here? I said, are we here? Let me try and teach you. My dad was a builder. I'm also a builder. All right. Just imagine, can you look at this place, this black place and this white place? Let's imagine this is the temple of God, right? Are you here? This place is the temple of God. Now, this temple has three compartments. Are you listening, everybody? Now, this boundary gives us the utmost boundary of that building. Then I have another building inside here. There are two compartments inside this building, inside this like a pillar around here. So they have this one toward the end over here, and then that's the first part and second part. Are we getting the point? Are we here? So we have this bigger one that's here. Then we have this holy place. It's called holy place that priests will enter. And then they have the most holy place that only one person can enter once a year. So God asked Solomon to build it. Now, when Solomon built this, he built this wall around, and they have the altar where the sacrifice over here. Are you following? But then there's this one that is gorgeous, built. as here that nobody enters except the priest. Beautiful thing inside. Then there's another inner compartment that nobody enters except the high priest once a year. Now, when Solomon, oh, beautiful, the guy found it out. Thank you. God, can you see it? Can you see it? All right. Yeah, thank you. Let's clap for him. I thought that only you can see the, where's my stick? Always come handy. You can see the pillar around. Okay, just a minute. You can see that this is the boundary I talk about over here. That's the altar here, quite high. And then you have this building here. Now this building, you can see this building, it has at the back over here, at the back is the most holy place. You listen? You can see the gorgeousness. It's pure gold. They used to do somebody work there. But let me go a step further now. Do you have some of the inside parts? Okay, you may not have that, don't worry. Now, you see this building? Okay, now that you have seen the picture, at least we can imagine that. Remember, we are the temple of the living God, right? We are the temple of God today. Pastor, I'm not that kind of building. Okay, I know you're not that kind of building. You're not a building, you're a human being. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter. That's where we are reading, right? Where are we now? Verse 14, 1 Kings 6. Now, just be with me. I need your attention now because I'm going to come to your owner. But let's look at the shadow, the picture, and the image. 1 Kings 6. We're on verse what now? Verse 14. Let's go to verse 15. So let's see how he built the house. Listen. Can you look up? He built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards. So that, now, when you look at that temple, it was built with wood, covered with gold, but it was wood. What particular wood did they use? Cedar. From the floor of the temple to the ceiling, he paneled the inside with wood, cedar wood. And he covered the floor of the temple with planks of cypress. So on the floor, they have planks of cypress, but the temple itself was built with cedar. Now, put your hands, don't stop. Which verse are we in now? Verse 15. Let's go back to Psalm 92. Verse 12. Wow, take a look. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like what? Now, that temple was built with cedar wood. Now, I showed them in the second service what a cedar tree is in Lebanon. You have that picture of cedar tree? It's not just, it's better than a local tree. It's a special tree. It's big, it's lanky. It's amazing. Can you find it? Try and look for it. Yeah, that's cedar tree. Can you see the cedar tree? It's enormous. You can only find it in Lebanon. I think it has even disappeared now. I don't know. Can you see it? It's spread like that. It's all over. The branches are thick and strong. They're great, and they last for years and years and years. So the Bible said something about the righteous. It said, it shall grow like a palm tree. No, it shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now let's go back to 1 Kings 6, verse 15 that we just read. The temple was built with cedar boards from the floor of the temple to the ceiling. So everything around it was this gorgeous, powerful tree. Remember that we are the house of God. And that temple was built with cedar. And cedar is a type of growth that is just all over. That's just extensive. That's just astronomical. Let's keep reading. Then he built the 20 cubit room, that's the most holy place, at the end of the temple, from floor to ceiling with cedar board. He built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. So he constructed this holy place, the one we just saw, with cedar wood, and then inside only two with cedar wood, typifying the growth of the temple. Luxuriant, flamboyant, heavy, not normal kind. the temple. Be with me. Let's jump this verse. These are all imagery. He's saying again. Now, please, can you follow now? I need your attention now. The inside of the temple was cedar. Remember the wall? Carved with ornamental boards and open flower. All was cedar. There was no stone to be seen. Let's keep reading. And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant. I'm not familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. So that inner sanctuary that was built with wood, he puts the Ark of the Covenant there. Let's keep reading. That thing was 20 cubits long, 20 all that. He overlaid it with pure gold. That's and overlaid the altar. So that cedar wood was behind, but it was covered with pure gold. Now, why gold? You know, when you go to Olympic, the top thing you get is gold. Then followed by what? Silver. Then followed by what? Bronze. That's where, you know where they got that idea from? They got it from the temple of Solomon. Solomon used pure gold and silver, and for the outer parts, he used bronze. That's why when you go to Olympic, you are excellent, they give you gold, then they give you silver for very good, and they give you gold as bronze. So God is saying that his temple should be dealing with pure gold. You should excel. You should go for the top. You should go for the highest. You should, whatever you display should not just be of the lower order. Praise God, somebody. Wow. That's individual. We are the temple of God. Not just talking as a church now, as a mission, as a ministry. He's talking about the house of God, not just the house of Rock Foundation or the house of Winners. No, the house of God, a typical Christian. Let's keep reading. We will just jump some and jump some. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold. You know, look at the inside of the temple. When you come inside of you, listen, inside of you is where your thoughts are, your attitude, your skills. That means that your thoughts, your attitude, your skills should be of pure gold. It should be of real, you know, real kind of thinking. Not just thinking, playing around with all kinds of stuff in your head. I mean, your thoughts should be level of excellent thoughts. Praise God. You should have excellent attitude. No matter where your life is, whether you are a road manager or bank manager or whatever it is, your thoughts should be elevated. Praise God, somebody. You should have one of a kind attitude. Not just as a Nigerian, but as a Christian. Praise God. Let's keep reading. Let's jump. We just jump. Now, please, I want you to follow me now. The whole temple, he overlaid with gold. So you can see the cedar that was made inside, that was growing, powerful thing, but also covered. So when you look at that temple, all you see is gold, highest order, the temple, the highest that they get in Olympic race. Until he had finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar. See, this is topmost. This is excellent. This is the best. You know, the Christian life was not meant to just be average life kind of person. Our country has spoiled Christianity in that sense. See, the Jesus said, you have focused too much on money. Come and buy from me pure gold. You know, today, the average Christian, a lot of these people that are Christians, just about money, gold, money. You know, Jesus said there's a better thing than that. Excellent level. Let's keep reading. Now, I want to start listening now. Inside the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. You know, what's cherubim? We're going to take those three. We're going to say some words now. We're going to leave this place before very soon so we can go where we need to go. Now, see that word cherubim, mark it down. Next verse. Let's go to next verse. Something I want to show you. Next verse. We're just going to be roaming. So he made the cherubim inside the most holy place. Let's keep on reading. Okay, next one. So just overlaid the cherubim with gold. Next verse. Now, I'm going somewhere. This is the critical verse I'm going to. Then, see, all that temple with that made with cedar wood, with gold, he now did certain carvings. Everywhere you look inside, you see these carvings. Everywhere you look. What do you see? Then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both the inner and outer sanctuary, with carved figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. These are the typical things about the Christian that's flourishing. I want to show you today. See, that means if you are the temple of God, he said, are we the temple of God? And that temple, when it was built with cedar wood, it shall grow like, remember cedar again, give us cedar on the screen again one more time. Cedar wood. This cedar wood, not a roco tree. It's luxuriant, it's big, it's lanky, everything in it is amazing. And it's covered with gold for the temple. And then he said, on that temple, all the cedar wood, gold, everywhere, that there are no windows there, everywhere, there's a carving. What's that carving? Cherubim. And what? And palm trees and open flower. Can you help me type those three words somewhere? I don't want to go further because my time is gone. He put this all over the building, by the door, everywhere. Now, he was inspired by God to do that. Three things. I'm talking about the flourishing Christian. Inside, the outside is looking great, but inside, everywhere you see, that's an imprint, that's a trademark, cherubim. Pastor, are we going to KNS? You know, some of those things, we don't understand them, just play around with them. You know, today, a lot of words in Christianity have become church names. Redemption Bible Church. What's redemption? I want a redemption here. I want a redeemed. Say, oh, we are redeemed. Rock Foundation. Are you sand? I want a Rock Foundation. You know? So this is all over the building, all over. What's it? Cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. Can you help me type them on the screen? These are the trademark of a flourishing Christian. We're going to look at what makes you to flourish, what makes you to live. See, Solomon put that all over the place. When you enter the temple, anywhere you look on the wall, like you have this panel wood over here, we have all this clothes, you see all over it, cherubims, and what? Palm trees, and what? Open flowers. Card figures. Can we read some more a little bit? Maybe we can read some more. Next verse. Okay, you are still looking. Can you give us next verse? Okay, they're trying to find it. Okay, next verse. Let's just keep on looking. Okay. Did for the that's for the wall or the of the door. Next verse. Okay. It's this same thing. The two doors were of olive wood, and he carved on them also figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. I just want to show you that, Pastor, which kind of teaching is this one? Welcome. I said we are going to the Old Testament as a shadow, as a picture, as an image. And we are the temple of God, aren't we? And that temple had these carvings all over the place. So have you gotten the three of them on the screen? We have the word cherubim. We have the word palm trees. We have the word open flowers. Now, Pastor, what are the cherubims? That church near my house, that's the problem. Let's look at the first time they mentioned the word cherubim in the Bible, Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are you still here? What a wonderful. I was thinking of not doing this teaching before, but I think I should do it because I want you to just learn something and get better. You know, the Christian does not depend on his environment to live. The Christian is like an astronaut that comes with his own spacesuit to live. No matter what, no matter where, whether it's cleaning the road or it's the MD of any bank or anything, he has his own life to live. He has his own lifestyle. He has his own drum beat to listen to. See, many of us, sorry to use this word, many of us, we dance to the drum beat of the world. Even the pastors speak from the world, they learn from the world system. Latest books on the road, that's what they quote in church. You can't even know the difference between Christian and non-Christian. So the Christians should have a life of their own, that they are different. Praise God, somebody. You know, is it Amma now? Amma that wanted to kill all the Jews. Remember Haman? Haman went to the king and said, there is a kind of people living in your land. They have their own rules. Are you hearing me? They don't take their cues from you, king. They run their own life differently. That's why the Jews, everywhere they go. And we are better Jews. Praise God. Are you here, everybody? I want to show you. See, that temple was built. It was not reflecting the environment. You can't find God around it, outside like that. But that thing was just different. Honestly, I'm waiting for Christ to come. Because I've not seen the kind of Christians I like to see. Are you hearing me? I know that when we get to heaven, everything will change for the better. But around here, it's just we just keep managing, keep struggling, waiting for one testimony or the other, just to get through. Even my own soul, I'm crying every day that this is not the best of life to live. There's something on our inside that's vast and greater than all we see around us. The temple is gorgeous. The temple is wonderful. You know, a lot of time we don't see result, not because God doesn't want to answer our prayer. But you see, when you're running a race and you come third, what would they give you? They can't give you gold now. They give you bronze. Huh? So a lot of time, God is not giving us the best because we're not stepping up. Are you hearing me? Praise God. You know, the picture today of a Christian, somebody who goes to church, who serves in church, huh? And who goes back home and live like everybody else. Picture of a Christian. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You know, I'm sorry to be lamenting this morning, you know, or this evening. You know, even when we gather here in church, you know, I'm not impressed. Even our church, I'm not trying to be bad this evening, you know. Get me right. I know, you know, what's the pastor? Just talk to us relevantly, solve our problems. You know, life is not a problem to be solved. It's a possibility to live. Some of us are cranked down by what's happening around us, our family, our life, our stuff. Oh God, how do we just go? How do I get back to work? You know, you are always asking questions about ethical questions. Should I pass this point or not pass that point? Should I give tithe? Should I give tithe of net or gross? how fast should I kiss the girl before we marry? Huh? Huh? You know, we are. Tell ourselves we are more than that. And so we are going to go on the inside. We are going to go on the inside. That, see, they said the temple was marked. You can see the carvings. It's cherubims and palm trees and open flowers. Let's look at chapter 3, Genesis. Cherubim. What's the part? I love cherubim. You know? Let's load the name of cherubim. All right. Take your Bible. Let's go. Look at verse 22. And the Lord, God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And not now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Look at next verse. So the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which I was taken. So he won't have access to real life. Look at next verse. This verse is amazing. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim. Take a look. At the east of the garden of Eden. And a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So the first time we see cherubim in the Bible, they are guards. They watch. They stop. They know where life is by the way. Who are these cherubims? They are a level of the order of angels that are not running around. They are given assignment to be around God. Are you hearing me? They are particularly shown up. Let's go to Ezekiel 1. I want to help you a little bit. Pastor, why are you talking about cherubim today? Because they are the carvings on the temple and we are the temple of God, right? the carvings on the temple. If you are coming in, I can't go back and explain more. The temple of Solomon was built with cedar wood and gold, and they put carvings all the inside with what? Cherubims, and that's the building. Inside was built with cherubims and palm trees and open flower. So let's start with cherubim. Now, let's go. See, the cherubims, they are a higher order of angels that when God was traveling in the book of Ezekiel, coming to his temple, this angel order carried him. Bible said he moves on the wings of the cherubims. I'll show you in minutes. And also in the last book in the Bible, they were the four living creatures surrounding God. Let's take a look at them. NLT. Let's go to NLT. Ezekiel 1. What they look like. Just a minute. Hallelujah. We're talking about a flourishing Christian. Cherubim, who flourish. Farabale now. Farabale. Inside carvings, inside, carved everywhere. We sing one song. Carve upon my heart the truth that set me free. Remember that? Carve, temple, carve. And there's carving of cherubims and carvings of palm trees and carvings of open flowers. Let's go to Ezekiel. Chapter 1. Are we there? Okay, you are just waiting for the screen to come on. Don't worry. It will be lighted up in a minute. Ezekiel chapter 1. This was the man. Where do we start from? He said, Lord. Let's start from verse 1. NLT. Give us NLT. Let's just read. I want you to just let's watch God traveling, like governor leaving his office to go to town. All right. On July 31st, so it's this story. My 38th year, he's a 30 years old guy. While I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kebar River in Babylon, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. So let's join to watch this vision. We are not there, but we can at least participate by watching television of that place. All right, let's keep on watching television. This happened during the 50th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Are you still with me? Let's go on. The Lord gave me this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzai, a priest beside the Kibar River, the land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Let's go on. And I looked. Everybody, are you here? And I saw a great storm coming from the north in the spirit, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside that cloud, and in the middle of that fire glowed something like a gleaming amber. Be with me. Go back to that verse again. You know, where was it coming from? From the north. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised is the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the old is Mount Zion on the side of the north. So if you are in the spiritual realm, you go toward north, you get to heaven. So Ezekiel was minding his business. This thing just opened, heaven just opened. And he saw this rumbling storm coming from, flashing with lightning and thunder, and was coming right out of that place. And he looked inside the cloud, was fire inside it. And something was glowing like a gleaming amber. Let's keep reading. From the sent out a cloud came four living beings that looked like human. I still hear some of you going to run out of this place. Talking about these beings, you know. Talking about these cherubims. Let's keep on reading. And except that each had four faces and four wings. Oh, buddy, how many faces do you have? You know, I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about the carvings. I'm talking about a flourishing Christian. If you're going to flourish, you have to have four faces. Without these four faces, you can't flourish. But I'm going to show you in minutes. Carvings over the wall. For you to really flourish, there are certain things that must be there. If you're not there, it's lacking. That's why you're not doing so well. I'll show you in a minute. Why is it that they are always around God? Let's go on reading. Their legs were straight, unlike your own that is crooked. And their feet had hooves like those of a calf, opari, like a cow, and shone like burnished bronze. We just like, it's burning like that. Let's keep reading. And under each of their four wings, I could see human hands, opari. So you got four hands. How many do you have? Two. So each of the four beings had four faces and four wings. So they got face here, they got face here, they got face here, they got face here. You can't escape from them. Let's keep reading. The wings of each living being touch the wings of the beings beside it. So they have a four like that. And each one moves straight forward. That's all, without turning around. You see, because you are human beings with one face, so you want to go back now, you do like this, you turn. Now, they got four faces, they don't have to turn. They go like this, their eyes over here, they go over here, they go over here, they go over here. Like Baku. They don't have to turn their body. They just go like that. They just go like that. They just go like that. I like to go to heaven. I want to see them. One of my desires, when I get to heaven, I want to see them. Amen? Yes. Next verse. Now, this is where I'm going. Each had a human face in the front. The face of a lion on the right side. The face of us on the left. The face of an eagle at the back. I wish I can talk more about them from there, but let's remember, there are four faces there. What's the first face? Human. Second face, lion. Third face, ox. Fifth face, eagle. Let's keep on reading about them. But we don't have time to read them. Actually, they have wings, and the wings are like this. They carry, and then there's a cloud over their wings, and the throne of God is on top of it. When you get to them, go and read it. You like science fiction? This is heaven's fiction. This is not science fiction. This is heaven's story. Okay, let's now stop this one. Let's look at them also in Revelation now. Chapter 4, Revelation. Let's go down there. Verse 5. From the throne in heaven came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. Be with me. Do you want to flourish? Thank you. And the rumble of thunder, and in front of the thrones were seven torches with burning flames. This is the seven full spirit of God. Let's keep reading. In front of the throne was a shining sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center around the throne were four living beings. Okay, see that four again? Each covered with eyes, front and back. Wala bele. You can't escape them. Can you imagine? How many eyes do you have? Gratitude. I mean, eyes here, 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 eyes here. You enter your house, your wife will pass out. Eyes all over. Sounds like. Like what? Cartoon Network. Eyes, front and back. Back, eyes, front, back. Like everywhere, eyes. I mean, and they're all looking at you. Let's keep reading. The first of this living being was like a lion, second like an ox, third human face, and fourth eagle in flight. And next verse, they were the next to God after the throne, the spirit, and the lamb. And then you find four of them around the throne of God. And they got four faces. Why these faces? I'm trying to tell you something. Why did God, out of all the faces in the universe, why did he pick these four faces? And why is he telling us about it? God is saying something, and Solomon came and drew the carvings of those faces on all the walls of the temple. You know, sometimes I wonder, even in the secular world, I heard a man talking about this. By the way, let me tell you, you know you have four gospels, right? In those olden days, the four gospels, I have a Bible like that, an old Bible, where they have the four faces of this. They put eagle on John. They put lion on Matthew. Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, can you give us the three lists again? The carvings on the inside of the temple that must permeate the temple is cherubim and palm trees and open flowers. And there's something about the cherubims. It's their four faces. And those four faces are the four parts of a flourishing Christian. If you are going to flourish as a Christian, you must learn to present these faces, or else you won't do well. That carving must be carved all over your inside as a Christian that's going to flourish. Let's go back to Psalm 92 again. Psalm 92, verse 12. We are reading. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. See that word palm tree there again? It shall grow like a cedar. Remember cedar all over the temple? Remember? You see here with me? And next verse. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Remember the temple Solomon was that? Can you see all that relationship going on there, sir? Can you see? And they shall flourish in the court of our God. Next verse. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still be fresh. See, all, can you imagine? Psalm verse 12, verse 13, verse 14 mention flourishing all through. Am I right? So there's something about flourishing. What does it mean to flourish? It means to be unhindered by your environment. It means that your potential is coming out. And what you want to be is coming forth. That you are coming out in your best, in the worst condition. That's why we notice that you are flourishing, because you are not like the rest of the pack. Praise God, somebody. And see, you must have that inbuilt into you. See, there's this averageness in people. See, because you are human being, and because we are falling, and we have been struggling all these years, we have this fallenness within us. So this thing about us that just downgrade our lives, and we can't be our best because we are limited by our tribe, our economic status, our lifestyle. So God is telling you, I want to carve upon your heart. I want to make you different. I want you to flourish as a Christian. You're going to see flower flourishing. I saw them in the second service sometimes ago. You can see flower just, they captured it on video, just flourishing. Just blowing out. I still have the video, maybe. Is Balumi around? It's not, you know. You know, don't worry. I got those videos, so I'm going to show you later. Flourishing, flourishing, flourishing. And the reason why you must flourish, because verse 15 says, to show, to declare, verse 15, give us, to declare, are you still there, somebody? To declare that the Lord is upright, is my rock, and there's no righteousness in him. You know, God has not declared Christianity to be a place where we just kind of hide. It's a place of showmanship, of God's glory in our lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen a baby? I got one small over here, it's not a baby anymore. But see that one in the next 5 years. Don't worry, don't give us that picture now. Don't give us now. Don't give us that. I will show you later how flower comes out. Thank you. See that? See, if you see a human flourishing, you see baby like that, small like that, come out of the bone, it's just like, you'll be looking like that. And next 3 months, something happens to them, am I right? Is that? And when that baby is in the right environment, grows up not in the village, somewhere where a kotutu na flower or loss or lale. Where it's milk and good. You see that thing, chubby thing, getting up, getting get sick, get better, living strong. And next thing you know, one day you just see her coming to the altar with her father. Huh? This gorgeous thing, right? That's what God has for all of us here. Amen. Gorgeous life. So let's look at, why did he put that cherubim there? There are four faces. Write them down. Four faces of a flourishing Christian. Number one, if you look at what we read in Revelation, the face of a lion. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. The face of a lion. Second, the face of a bull or a calf. The face of a bull. Third, the face of a man. And fourth, the face of an ego. I gave the teaching sometimes ago, a long time ago. As I was there, I remember put all our line. Remember that teaching I gave years ago? I feel remember from a few. How many of you in that teaching? I thought I was there. It was good. So we are in good company. Praise God. So let's give us on the screen the face of what? A lion. If you're going to flourish. Second, the face of an ox or a bull. The face of a human face, the face of an ego. I think I used to have this picture years ago, but I've not. If you can find it on the screen, I don't think I can find it anymore. I'll give you the picture next Sunday. Okay, remove the vase. Go back to, keep typing on those things. So I said there are carvings on the wall. What are those carvings? Palm trees, cherubim first, palm trees, and open flower, not a closed flower. Let's go. So I said the cherubim, that carving on our heart, that must be the face of a lion. The face of what? A bull. And the face of a man. And the face of an eagle. This four presentation is what you need most. Every Bible character that made any impact in the Bible, they got these faces. And their failure is one part either missing or not being presented. So, number one, type for me on the screen, the face of a lion. There's something about lion, or if you can get a picture of a lion, I love it. Can you get a picture of a lion? Throw it on the screen, if you can. But if you can't, don't worry. Just give us the word lion on the screen. L-I-O-N. Can you help me type that one in? Can you? Help me type L-I-O-N. Don't look for lion yet, if you can find it. Lion, there's something about lion. He's the king of the jungles, am I right? Bible says, Solomon, it doesn't turn away from the path of any beast. When a lion is coming up, when he starts moving, whatever is on his path clears. It doesn't clear for them. If you notice something about it, it has very, very slender body and big head, particularly male lion. And it has one accompaniment that follows him around. He roars. That's his trademark. When he roars, even the animal will be glued down. He doesn't have to run after it. There's something about the voice of a lion. Not being quenched, not being pushed aside. Not just, you know, there are all kinds of voices around us today. I want to hold us down. You know, it's economy, it's dollar, it's abroad, it's bubble, it's global. Blah, 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 blah. All those voices are coming at us and they are talking to us like Goliath. But David didn't turn away from his path. Praise God, somebody. A flourishing Christian has a lion heart and he keeps his roar. Praise God, somebody. He roars at circumstances. He doesn't hide from them. If you're going to flourish, you have to have the courage of a lion, the heart of a lion. You have to be a challenger. You have to be watching things happen to you and just kind of, I don't know, spiritual attack. Stop. Who should be attacking? Lion or the deer? Are you hearing me? Who's attacking who? Stop talking like that. Maybe something. It's not, no. He said, he doesn't turn from the path of any other. He just stands over there. He's going to get his way through. Sooner or later, praise God, somebody. You cannot flourish blending with the environment. You cannot flourish just keeping your voice cool. Yeah, you may not be loud in the meeting, but you're loud within yourself. I refuse to take that in Jesus' name. Within yourself. Remember, Pastor Ade, one day he was in a meeting. And his neighbor, they were in a meeting, community meeting. And, oh, good. Thank you. Let's clap for them. Thank you. That picture of a man there is a boy who went to heaven and drew the picture of Jesus. I kept it all these years. You know, this guy went to heaven. This young man went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he said he saw Jesus. And he told himself, he never looked like another picture on this earth. So he took his own picture, started, his own pen, and started drawing it. Another guy went to heaven and was talking about the face of Jesus. He said, it's not like another face on the earth. So they brought pictures for that girl to look at. When they gave her this picture, she said, ah, this looks like it. Praise God. All right. Okay. So you can see, where did I stop now? I'm talking about something before I stopped. Where was I? Are you following me? Huh? Professor, thank you, Professor. Yeah. And then somebody beside in the community meeting said, we're talking about earth issues. He said, you will have apartheid these days because of what Buhari is doing, or Tinubu, either of the two. And then the president said, you are bound to have apartheid these days too, because of Tinubu or Buhari. Prophet didn't say anything. The man kicked him. He wanted to hear him. I agree with him. The whimper of a dead dog. That's what people are full of whimpers today. They just wimp. Have you seen a dog that is beaten up? They pick the whimpers from Ebenezer Obey. Abroad. One girl just drove from US, UK to Nigeria. He drove by car. I wonder why he did that. Did I give you honor? You can fly them. First class, take care of you. What a feat about driving them, you know? Forgive me. If car was the only thing available now, we can say that's a solo thing. But just enter jet. It's faster. Get first class, you sleep all through. Praise God. So, what I'm saying today is that if you're going to, first as a Christian, oh, I've not finished Brother Day yet. So, Brother Day said, you kick the guy. He said, Brother Day, I'm not going to have any hypertension from anybody. You know what happened? When he roar like that, he reached out, but that's a roar. The person next said, join the roar. I'm not going to have hypertension too. The other guy, who was saying that, I'm not going to have hypertension too. You must have that inside. Remember, the carvings, all the inside of the sanctuary was carved with courage. They can be blasting you on the outside. They may be calling you all kinds of name on the inside, but you're a lion within you. And you mark your time. You know, lions just don't run anyhow. You just don't do things anyhow. They mark their time. They watch the moment. Then they pounce. They don't have so much time to be wasted. Praise God. You set your eyes on your prey and you go after it. Are you hearing me? You know, lions don't have time to be wasted looking for chip. They don't eat dead animals. They get fresh one with the blood still gushing through it. If you are going to really flourish today, you have to learn to master your environment and keep it under and tell yourself that God's going to help me here. Praise God, somebody. Are you hearing me? You know, I had that when I was a younger person. I got born again when I was 18. I was not that serious until about 21, 22. When I got that, I told myself, I'm going to make an impact with my life. I'm going to live a wasted life. I don't care the environment. I don't care where I've ever found myself. I'm quiet. I can be quiet. But I'm an introvert. I don't speak well. But I told myself, I'm going to sow the lion in my heart. More so, my master, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has prevailed. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. A lion, what you notice most about a lion is courage. It's not turning back from any path. See, you can never do well in life. You turn here, you turn there, you turn there, you become turning point. Everything turns you. You want to buy land? Okay, you turn. You want to buy a car? Turn. You know, you turn forever. You just become like vagabond, you know, running all over the place. Praise God. When you are the lion, when they talk about the problem, bring it on. I remember when I was in secondary school, they said the most difficult subject is physics and chemistry and applied maths. I said, bring it on. Taught myself physics. Not because I was smart, just the courage of a lion, the courage to step. And why do you need courage? Because you have to step into a new region. You have to do what is not done normally. Am I making sense with this teaching now? Before you were thinking I was roaming around the back room. Strong like a lion. Let's go to Joshua 1 verse 5. Let's look at courage. In the face of, sometimes lion will chase a prey and won't get it. It won't surrender. It will stop again and look for another one. Praise God, somebody. Lion won't take failure as a final thing. No one, this God telling Joshua, is telling you too, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Can you take that from Jesus to you? I mean, no, you see, all this enemy, party. Go God said to you, and that's why our parents are fooled by all these people that are all these false prophets. Can you come on? Can you come? Can you come? Can you come? Pastor, did you what do you ever do when you hear things like that? You know what I do? I give to the poor. Pastor, what does it say? Bible says, if a man gives to the poor, the Lord will bless him and will never hand him over to the will of his enemies. That's you have to pray. Just give to the poor. Let's let you know. Meanwhile, no one be able to stand against you as long as you live. You know, the family of Haman, is it Haman now? Told him, when you begin to fall before a Jew, you will never stop falling until you fall Yakata. You know the meaning of that? There's a better one than Jew over here. You, a child of God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? No one. Now, it doesn't mean that we are aggressive and attacking people. I mind my business. I'm going somewhere. But if you come along my way, you can't block me. Are you hearing me? You may try and slow me down, but you can't stop me. No one will be able to stand against you as long as what? How many years? You are alive. Can I see your hand up? No one can stand against you. Somebody say amen to that. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Now go to NKJV, next verse. Let's go to NKJV. Be strong and of good courage. For to these people, you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. See that word courage there. Be like a lion. You know why? You know why? The first reason God gave to Joshua for being courageous is that when you stand up to be courageous, you will encourage somebody else to stand up. See, when you stand up in your own place, when you rise up, it will affect your children. It will affect your friends. It will lift up the standard a little bit higher. He said, by your being courageous and being strong, you're going to divide their inheritance. You say, if you can do that, I can do that. Praise God, somebody. Even let's go to secular world. Bill Gates became such a powerful thing. Microsoft and started opening. And you know how many people have become that way through Bill Gates? You don't know how many are watching you. You are a city on a hill. You're not in the valley like my house. You're a city on a hill. People are watching you. If people are not watching you, demons are watching you. And so you are a different breed. Hallelujah. You are an example. You are a pace setter. Are you hearing me? I can't afford to fail. At least my mommy will be disappointed. Forgive me back to me. I can't afford to fail. My wife will be disappointed. I can't afford to be foolish. My children will feel bad. Praise God. Tell somebody beside you, eyes are on you. Heaven, earth, and hell are watching you. Praise God. First reason, be strong and courageous because people will be divided for their inheritance in their own land. Let's go to the next one. Next verse. Only. Be strong and, again, very courageous. For reason, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn to the left, liberal, or to the right, conservative. That you may prosper wherever you go. Oh, I love this. When I say be courageous, I just go to office. I'm terrifying your neighbors every night. I said, be courageous enough to act on the word of God. Praise God, somebody. Oh, over the years, I'm not a courageous person as such. I'm not that kind of, people think I am, but really, if I find out in the Bible, If you say you shall be the head and not the tail, let's start looking for tail to throw away and head to embrace. Hallelujah. If he says, I can do all things through Christ. If he says, Your trials are working for you. Great glory. What do I do in my trials? I rejoice because it's going to be glorious for me. Amen. Somebody with the courage of the courage of forgiveness, apartheid regime that tormented them for years. He was raised to be vengeful, angry young man to fight the whites because they are against them. And went to prison, but I become more bitter. He told Thabo in Becky, don't join us in prison. Let's send you to London. Go and learn in economics so that when we become in power, we know how to run very well. That's why after he left, he put Thabo in Becky there. And Zuma kicked him out. Zuma didn't do anything. Went to primary school alone. Mess up the economy, mess up everywhere. And listen, Mandela, black man, you shocking news all over the world. He came out of prison without any sense of fighting and struggling and attacking the whites. Before he went to prison, he was attacking them. But he came out and he told himself, I'm going to be courageous enough to hold the hand of a white brother. And guess what? First time in human history, a white man that was the president before became his vice president. And the man surrendered in parliamentary election. And Nelson Mandela was the president for 4 years, 2 times, and he never continued again. What a courageous man.